House Representative Matt Caldwell is running for Agriculture Commissioner. We'll talk with Matt in the second hour today. And I've got Rich Jones, who's the Deputy Chief, and Robert Clary, who's the Fire Coordinator of Public Education for our very own Tallahassee Fire Department. You stay with me. We've got a whole lot of good stuff coming at you.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done. Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widden Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widden Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widden's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widden is known for taking care of business. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Well, here we are, my friend, once again on this occasion when there's nothing more exciting to talk about than festivals and political races and maybe some particular activity that is breaking ground, right? Something that's bringing people together in a new way. And I'm thinking of some of the things that have come our direction of late. This Juke Joint Florida festival, and Tallahassee's very own Royce Lovett is going to be performing. It's coming up June 2nd. It's a great example of reshaping, redefining how we communicate with one another about our contemporary lives, the current scene, as well as how we connect to our own past. And this Juke Joint circuit, as it was referred to, really made the difference for what often are called legacy communities, right? So legacy communities are those that survived post-Civil War among African Americans who found themselves disenfranchised, and they found a way to survive with these juke joints. And some of this music now that we think back, Cannonball Adderley or Ray Charles, they were all performing along this Chitlin Trail, this connection of juke joints throughout the South, and Tallahassee had its own. Well, this Juke Joint Florida celebration is really about looking through that lens of history and then bringing together contemporary artists like Royce Lovett to talk about who we are now and how different life is for all of us who look through the kinds of relationships we have with communities that we're a part of and communities that we want to be a part of, how these communities connect with one another. It's a big topic, and the fact that so much of what goes on, especially in Leon County, has to do with this desire to overcome this kind of segregated way of thinking of ourselves. Maybe by design to some degree in years past, mostly by default. And I think we just find ourselves in our own little paths, and we, you know, we hang out with the people that we hang out with. And so it's festivals like this Juke Joint Florida, I think, that can help bring us together in a more meaningful way. Lemoyne is doing its part. You know, this little thing called Lemoyne Arts has a remarkable history of its own. And when you look at their contribution to the landscape, the contribution they've made to this community, both at a level of art exhibition and at a level of art education, well, their contributions are formidable, you'd say. And they have this coming up now, Artistic Visions of Stuart Riordan, who is whose work is being displayed May 4th through the 26th. There is a gallery talk scheduled for Saturday, May 12th at 1 o'clock at LeMoyne. Again, this runs May the 4th through the 26th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's a great opportunity for you to see firsthand the work of this remarkable artist. And they've also embarked on this campaign to raise funds to expand and modernize the gallery. So they want you to know about that. They are, it's called a Community Thrives, a Home for the Future fundraising campaign. And they're trying to meet a goal of $3,000. So if you have the opportunity to do so, you can help support LeMoyne, and we can see this organization continue to contribute not only to our own welfare, but to represent us well across the world. You know, they were recognized nationally last year as the number one art show in the country, and that Chain of Parks Art Festival, which has just concluded recently, brings to this community a great deal of economic benefit because you have people coming in from all over the world, certainly around the region, who come here to spend the week, spend a few days, and spend some money among our retailers and hotels and restaurants. It's a good thing. And to be known for such contribution, well, look, you know, that's part of the whole business of knowing Tallahassee for who we really are, right? Let me say this. There is a another activity going on, and this has to do with the county, a joint county-city activity. Explore Tallahassee on two wheels, it's being said. The two wheels exploration in relation to Bike Month through the month of May. Quoting John Kennedy, President Kennedy once said, "Nothing compares to the simple pleasure of a bike ride." Well, okay. You have it there on authority from President Kennedy. And having taken that to heart, the Tallahassee-Leon County Planning Department is hosting several activities throughout May to celebrate National Bike Month. Established in 1956 by the League of American Bicyclists, Bike Month encourages communities from coast to coast to give cycling a try. Okay. Well, even me, even I can do this. And I have a bike. I have a bike. Don't I have Carl? Carl has been storing my bike for me in his garage, but it's soon to be set free. We're going to get out there with our bike and enjoy this. So to officially kick off the Bike Month, an expo for cyclists will be offered at the Anita Favors Thompson Plaza. This is under the Duval Street overpass at FAMU Way and South Adams Street, so that's a good thing. Today, the 5th of May, a slow roll boomer bike ride going on throughout the day. What else have they got? Something coming up ahead here. This coming Tuesday and Wednesday, Bike Month Proclamation. The City and County Commissioners will recognize May as National Bike Month. Okay, well, that's not very fun. And then comes Tour de Farm. Now, this looks cool. This is going to be on the 19th, a tour of Tallahassee's farmers markets on your bike. Starting at 9:30, the staff will lead participants on a tour of several farmers markets located within the city, to include the Downtown Marketplace, Frenchtown Farmers Market, Lake Ella Growers Market. Wow, that sounds like quite a ride. Anyway, so Bike Month going on. Bringing us together on our bikes. That's what it's all about. All right, let's see. Of course, we want to pay attention to the fact that we are in the midst of our Tallahassee food challenge. And while we continue to pursue that, we want to remind you to give generously to local food charities that are in a critical time of year. This month of May and into June, food supplies tend to run low, demand is high. So be sure that you take the opportunity. If you don't do anything else, you can go to the Second Harvest website and you can donate online. $10 can buy $40 worth of food. That's how that works. Tallahassee Food Challenge is on. You can find us at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. You stay with me. I've got more coming up right after this.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for Tallahassee Business Spotlight, brought to you by Tiffany Hamilton.
So here we are in segment two of this here fine radio show, our business spotlight, as it is, generously provided for us by the sponsorship of Tiffany Hamilton. And Tiffany has, for her part, been a big part of this show for the months that we've enjoyed having her with us and here sponsoring this business spotlight. And we take it this way because it gives us a chance to focus on a particular business or maybe a couple of businesses that we want to bring to your attention. And on this occasion, let me bring to your attention Tallahassee Museum. Now, for many of you, this is a topic of great familiarity. You're quite familiar with what all the Tallahassee Museum does, has done. But there's something more to be discovered, and we have this coming up on the 20th over there at Tallahassee Museum, a good example of how they serve this community. They are hosting the 4th annual Tallahassee Songwriters Festival, featuring the musical talents of Brett Wellman, our very good friend, who's been on the show many times. Many of you know Brett and his bluesy sort of stylings. I believe the Stone Cold Blues Band is his. Brett will be there performing along with Jason Bird, who is a remarkable country music star in his own way, has opened for a lot of national artists, and Jason will be performing at this festival. This is May 20th from 2 to 5. At Tallahassee Museum. And all of this is happening because of the labors of Drew Tillman and his wife Amelia. So Drew will be performing as well. So you got Drew Tillman, Jason Bird, Brett Wellman, courtesy of the Tallahassee Songwriters Festival. They're calling it Rockin' Country Blues. Okay, so we've brought together these three from various genres. But in as much as they represent the diversity of music in Tallahassee, what a fine representation that is, especially when you consider that Tallahassee is home to so many very talented artists, songwriters. Many of them you hear on our radio station, Moose Magnificat, which brings you the sound of Tallahassee. And so it's our pleasure to be able to promote something like this, Tallahassee Songwriters Festival. Certainly you want to make sure that it's a part of that weekend for you. May the 20th at Tallahassee Museum from 2 to 5. So that's that. Tickets and information are available at TallahasseeMuseum.org, or you can call them at 575-8684. Admission is free for members of the museum. If you purchase a general ticket, you're automatically admitted to the event on that day. So very good. Thanks to our good friends at Tallahassee Museum for that. And by the way, if you haven't been there lately, you really need to do this. Their tree-to-tree adventure by itself, even if you're not willing to climb up there and be a part of it firsthand, watching these folks make their way from one tree to... I did this one afternoon. I was out there for another... for a meeting, and just seeing them make their way across this network of cables from tree to tree. It is a remarkable thing. And I was, I guess, surprised to find that some of these people were doing this, and they were not among the younger set. There were some seniors up there just having a blast. It's all handled very, very well. Even those who might find themselves otherwise limited in their physical ability, you can do this. It is a fun thing to do, and it's entirely well supervised, and so you'll be fine. You will be safe, right? Okay. Let's see. What else have I got for you? I want to talk a little bit about this upcoming broadcast. We are going to be broadcasting live at Gain Street Pies 2 weeks from today. So this will be Saturday, May 12th, and we will be at the Gain Street Pies on Gain Street, just off of Railroad Avenue there, on the southwest corner of the intersection. Gain Street Pies, of course, famous around town for their sauce. If you haven't gotten wind of this, they use a remarkable sauce on their pizza that has everybody just absolutely gaga. And it's a very unusual kind of sauce because of the way in which the sauce is prepared. Doesn't involve cooking the sauce. It's really just fresh tomato. But in any case, it's certainly no secret that Gain Street Pies had made their sauce the most famous part of their product. And it's our pleasure to celebrate them because they are the presenting sponsor for this year's Tallahassee Food Challenge. So we will be there at Gain Street Pies on behalf of the Food Challenge for the entire 2 hours of our broadcast. And we will have with us live music from, yes, Drew Tillman and Brett Wellman. So we're going to bring a couple of these guys that I've just told you about. We'll be at the Tallahassee Songwriters Festival. Well, they're going to be on the show that Saturday. This will be the 12th at Gain Street Pies. Now, what's really cool is you can go by any time during the broadcast. Come by the restaurant there and bring to us your food donation. So we've got collection barrels where you can leave a food donation with us, or you can write out a check to America Second Harvest if you want to do that. Anything that you want to bring to us that day of the broadcast, we'll be there to receive on your behalf and bring it to the people at Second Harvest for distribution to all of the food charities that serve this community. It's a remarkable network of cooperation. But here's what's critical about that. During the months of May and June, yes, demand is high, supplies are low, and the Food Challenge is here to say, we need to stand up, take the challenge, and feed the hungry. While we go about the business of solving the problem long-term of hunger in our community, in the short term, we still have to make sure that these kids are not going to bed hungry every night. And that's happening. And it's happening in a startling number of people who suffer because they just don't have food available. So first things first, the Food Challenge is here to say, let's take the challenge, let's step up and get this done, and let's continue this conversation going forward as to how we solve the problem of hunger in our community in one generation. That's the larger challenge. Gain Street Pies, generous enough to say, we believe in that effort, and we are going to help you underwrite all of the advertising that this campaign is really all about. You'll be seeing TV ads and billboard ads in the weeks ahead, running radio ads. just to remind us to give generously and continue this conversation forward as we look for long-term solutions to the problem of hunger and even this broader question of separation and segregation that keeps us apart as communities within Tallahassee. We can do it. It's in our DNA. It's coming about as we celebrate festivals and art shows and music festivals, and we look at the way in which this town is changing the way it looks at itself, right? So that is part of the reason why this show is here, because we want to celebrate who we really are. So you stay with me. I've got more coming up right after this.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You know that you and I take for granted, I think, maybe we do, at least I do, the fact that from day to day, week to week, we live in a community where we just don't have to worry a whole lot about getting burned up in a fire or running off the road and getting stranded somewhere. I mean, because we have men and women who have devoted their lives to keeping us safe. And I'm talking about especially the people with Tallahassee Fire Department. TFD, in its history, has this remarkable legacy of not only rescuing poor guys like me who do stupid things sometimes, and I won't talk about the time I set my hair on fire at the barbecue grill. We'll save that for another occasion. However, it's a lot more day-to-day, I think, and in some respects maybe even mundane, because a lot of what they do for us is really there to keep us out of harm's way. It's about educating and reminding and such. And that happens all the time. But it doesn't happen magically. It happens because you've got very dedicated professionals who look at our situation, my situation, and say, okay, Brian, just trying to help you out here. Leave the doorways unobstructed inside of your office. You don't think a fire is going to happen, but if it did and you're tripping over a garbage can trying to get your butt out the door, might not be a good day for you. See, that's the kind of stuff that they have to think about. It's not fun, but here I am. So, more importantly, we have the opportunity to find out what makes these guys tick. How is it that they find themselves so impassioned, dedicated, determined to try to do this work? I thought it'd be good to have with us Deputy Chief Rich Jones. He's here this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Brian. Thank you for having me here this morning.
And this is going to help me out a lot because you know so much about this business we're talking about. So we're going to tap into your wealth of experience and knowledge. And his colleague, Robert Clary, he's the fire coordinator for public education. Robert, how are you this morning?
How are you doing this morning?
Thanks. You're looking sharp, man.
Thank you, sir.
You got everything shiny and bright. And I mean, how long did you polish that badge? I mean, the thing is burning my eyeballs here.
We got to stay sharp.
You got. And your trucks always look great. I mean, Chief Jerome must think, I got the best. I got the best people in the world. And I think there's a lot of us who think so, too. How long have you been with the department?
I've been with the department for 10 years.
10 years.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
What's the most, I guess you'd say, thrilling part of that 10 years? Are there certain memories that you look back and go, man, that was a good day at TFD?
Any day you can save a life is a good day. I've had many of those experiences throughout my career, and I just love meeting the people of Tallahassee and serving the community.
Yeah. Do you guys have a Dalmatian? I just needed to...
We don't have a Dalmatian.
Do we
sir.
Need to work on that, or is that a big deal?
No. That's something that you and Chief Gaines would have to have a conversation about.
Okay. Another note for the Chief.
Yes,
right.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Okay, well, we could break with tradition. Doesn't have to be the Dalmatian. Maybe it's a, you know, Labrador Retriever or something. Okay, well, we'll talk about that later.
Right.
You are a newbie. You've come to Tallahassee, what'd you say, from Charlotte?
Charlottesville, Virginia, yes, sir.
Yeah. So Charlottesville to Tallahassee, I guess it's not across the country, but it's certainly a jump.
About 1,000 miles, yes, sir.
Yeah. And you've been here, what, 6 months?
About 8 months.
Oh, yeah, 8 months.
8 months, yes, sir.
Yeah.
came here to take this job?
I did, yes, sir, to serve the citizens here in Tallahassee and Leon County, yes, sir.
So you had this background in fire prevention, fire safety and such prior to working up there in Charlottesville, right?
Yes, sir. I've been in the fire service for over 30 years, yes, sir.
30 years?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And you're still doing this?
Love it. Greatest job in the world.
What's the closest call you've ever had?
Closest call for me personally.
Yeah.
We had a fire one time. I was only been working for a couple years and got trapped in an upstairs of a burning structure and had to free myself and actually ran out of air in my tank and had to put my tube. They teach us to put it inside your coat and got out, and it was pretty bad. It was a close experience for me, and it's something I'll never forget, and I don't wish it on any of my fellow brother and sister firefighters or citizens to be trapped inside a fire.
That sounds, yeah, not cool.
No.
So put the tube inside your jacket.
Right.
So that you don't inhale more smoke.
That's exactly right. Yes, okay. Sir. Right. That was the older style. Now I'm aging myself, Brian. Right. Yeah, we have different equipment now, but
that was almost 30 years ago. Right?
Yes, sir. That's right. Correct. Okay. Yeah, it was.
Well. Yeah, and we should talk about some of that, some of the innovation, the technology that has come your way, making the job even safer, or right, or less risky.
No, you're exactly right, and one that comes to mind, if you don't mind, is our thermal imaging cameras is something that we use that where it used to take, if Robert and I were a team, because we operate in the two-man crew system, when we go in, had to search a bedroom looking for a child that may be trapped or an elderly person or anyone, we can use that camera now to search a room in a quarter of amount of time, wow, opposed to, you know, where we can see heat signatures or where someone may be hiding, where before we had to crawl around on our hands. It was pitch black.
And
couldn't see
no
from me to
idea.
You. And, yes, sir.
So here you've got thermal imaging working on your behalf.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's awesome. It's a tool, like Robert says, any day we can save a life, it gives us that more of the opportunity, because it takes minutes for someone to be succumbed to smoke or flames in a fire.
You know, years ago, and I'm not proud of this, so here again, I won't tell you again about the setting the hair on fire, but I did have this occasion when burning some leaves there in the backyard, wind came up, and man, that just took off. I mean, within a matter of minutes. I think that's the part of fire safety that all of us are so ignorant about. We don't realize, you know, if you got fuel and you got air, you got potential, man. And it can happen very quickly, can't
well,
it?
Well, I think, Brian, the thing that a lot of people, when they see things and hear stories, and that'll never happen to me, or
that's
not going to happen. And you mentioned that earlier. And you know, preparation is and practicing and educating are things that if people know what to do if it happens, they're going to remember it. Small children especially, if you teach your kids a home fire escape plan or what to do if the house catches on fire, they remember it.
And
you know, by having that home fire escape plan, which Robert can touch on more, and a meeting place outside, kids remember these things. But don't ever think for 1 minute that it can't happen to you. It can't happen in Tallahassee or Leon County.
Wow.
Emergencies happen anywhere in this country, Brian. So it can happen to you today.
It's really a mindset we have to embrace. And Robert, this is the focus of your work. You're this education coordinator for the department. And you've got a fire safety program coming up, safety fair?
Yes, Ron.
On the 12th?
On the 12th of May, Saturday, that's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., we're partnering with EMS for a safety fair.
Okay.
It's going to be at the Governor Square Mall's parking lot.
Okay.
And we invite the public to come out and learn some fire safety tips,
okay,
along with some medical tips that the EMS is going to provide for them.
All right. If I do attend, are there any kind of like special things that I might get, like maybe a badge?
We can definitely get you a badge.
Wear a
maybe
badge.
Even a little fire hat if you so like. But we're going to have a lot of information for the public.
Mm.
We're coming up into, you know, fireworks season and grilling season. And
yeah, let's not talk about grilling.
Yeah.
See,
so,
that's a trigger for me.
Well,
right?
That came full circle, didn't it, right there?
Memory. Robert, stop it, man.
Well, we want to make sure that people are aware not to grill inside of a carport or a garage or an enclosed space.
You've been reading my mail, haven't you?
Yeah, because that, you know, that carbon monoxide, it will get you. And we want to encourage people to, if you do grill, grill 10 feet away from the overhang of your home. That way, if you do leave the grilling surface and the fire catches on the grill, it doesn't go directly to your roof line.
To your house, yeah.
You know, some other things, you want to be on a level surface so that it won't, the grill won't tip, you know. Also keep children and pets away.
I think I've broken all of those rules.
Well, that's why we're going over them, so you know now. But, you know, these safety precautions, you know, children and pets, they get excited or they get close to these things.
Sure.
And burns are a very ugly injury that you can sustain. So as you know, if I can piggyback on what Robert said, just thinking about it, using the proper precautions and being safe. And you know, something else we want to hit on too is we want to encourage everyone to have working smoke alarms. Because Brian, having a working smoke alarm will increase your chances by 66% of escaping a home residential fire. And I know if it's increases the odds of my family or friends getting out, I want to give them any tool that they can have.
We're talking with Rich Jones, Deputy Chief for TFD, and Robert Clary. He's the Fire Coordinator of Public Education. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking about some very important fire safety ideas. This marvelous organization that for its history has not only saved lives. Well, let's put it this way. Not only have they rescued folks like you and me, they've done a whole lot more because of the things that have not happened due to their determination to educate and remind and inform. They got this safety fair coming up. Robert Clary's here. He's the fire coordinator for public education with Tallahassee Fire Department. That's coming up May 12th, and it's at the Governor Square Mall parking lot, probably right over there near the Sears store on that would be the east side of. And you got EMS out there. You got the fire department out there. I mean, come on, bring your little kids and let them could they actually like sit up in one of the fire trucks? Would that be
absolutely
acceptable?
We're going to have the fire trucks out there. We're going to have a table set up with fire education. EMS is going to be there with their unit as well, so you can take a look at the ambulance and see what kind of toys that they play with and what they save lives with.
Oh, you talked about toys earlier, this whole thermal imaging technology. I mean, that's astounding. What are some of the other things that you've noticed? Rich, you've been with them. You've been in fire safety for 30 years, better. Other advances technologically, or maybe just in the training, maybe some of your understanding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The techniques we're using now, Brian, to do different things is constantly advancing. The innovation, the turnout gear itself, our protective gear we wear is safer now for our firefighters. Our air packs we're wearing, as we spoke of earlier, the City of Tallahassee Fire Department just purchased brand new SCBAs, which is self-contained breathing apparatus, to keep all of our members safe, because Chief Gaines, one of his main philosophies is to keep our employees safe, healthy, working in the best working environment so we can provide for the citizens. Because if we can't provide the needed equipment for our employees, they can't go out and do our job. which is going to be to save citizens like yourself or provide aid, you know, to the citizens. And you know, as a department, we are really into health and wellness. We have initiatives and programs to keep our folks healthy and well. So they do physical training, yeah. You know, and you put on a great, you hit on a great point, Brian. The training, once you become a firefighter, your training doesn't stop. That's just the beginning. That's the start. We continually do training each month, you know, and we have certain things we have to hit on. We have a training division that the guys can go out to our training academy. So, you know, like myself, I learn every day. I'm still learning in this profession. And
after 30 years.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I still learn from guys like Mr. Clary and the other chiefs and firefighters and captains and lieutenants that are out there. And it's a profession that you have to continually stay on top of your craft, just like you do in radio. You have to continually.
I don't practice.
Yes,
no,
I'm sure you do. I'm going to say you do. And
I keep hoping I'll find somebody who can actually do this job. No. Are you kidding me?
Innovations are coming along in the fire service all the time, and we always try and take a look and see what's best for us and the citizens of Tallahassee to mitigate any problems that may come around.
Well, I've noticed that too. We had one of the, and I forgive me, I don't remember her name, but she was here to do an inspection with me and on our facilities. And, you know, she was thorough, and she walked through, and there were a couple of electrical outlets didn't have the face on the outlet, that type of stuff, you know, and hey, we got a doorway over here that's obstructed. Yeah.
Well, that's another service, and you hit on a great point. I appreciate you segueing into that, that we provide, we have a prevention division that does day-to-day, you know, safety inspections in Leon County to make sure the occupants are safe. The purpose of that is there's 23,000, you know, occupancies, you know, that we can inspect.
Yeah.
We try to get to all of them once a year. And what that does is provide information for you as the occupant of that business and to give you safety information to keep you safe and educate you and prevent you from harm.
The city of Tallahassee and the Tallahassee Fire Department also has a free home fire safety survey.
Really?
Well, yes, you can go online to talgov.com/firedepartment and you can request the service, and we'll come out to your house and we'll do a safety survey, talk to you about fire safety, and, you know, show you any things that we might see in your home that
that's
may
awesome.
Be a potential fire risk.
And we also provide the service of for folks who don't have the financial means for smoke alarms, where we will provide them smoke alarms because they're in need, and we do that as well. And, you know, the other thing, Brian, we want to make sure, and I want to hit on real quick before I forget, is if you have any fire safety questions or anything you want to talk to us about, you can pick the phone up and call us. And we were talking earlier about phones, and everybody has a cell phone. And, you know, the number is 850-891-6600 is the main number to the Tallahassee Fire Department. Mm-hmm. We have our website. We're on social media, Facebook and Twitter. You can reach out to us somehow if you have a question, and we will get back to you, because it's all about getting the information out to the public to educate, prevent harm, and that's what our mission is.
When you look at the future for Tallahassee, and here you come from Charlottesville,
right?
Taking lessons from things that you've walked through and say, okay, how could we do this better next time? And I started by asking you, you look at the future, where do you want to see, for your sake, fire safety go? Where are we, where do we need to grow, I guess?
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, the grassroots of it is the getting the word out, the education. You know, I like to say, Brian, there's three P's. There's plan it, practice it, perfect it. And those are that comes from me. I thought of that a while ago. And if the folks in Tallahassee have a plan, they have an emergency plan for a fire, for a weather-related emergency, whatever it may be, if they have a plan and they practice it, then perfect it, they're going to be ready. They're going to be, you know.
One of my mentors used to say, practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And that's what I'm hearing you say there.
Yeah.
Yeah, three P's. Good point. That's easy for me to remember.
Well, good.
Plan it, practice it, perfect it.
Yes, sir. And Robert, you might want to hit on also as far as what the citizens can do to where Brian's going as far as being prepared. Now, let me say this.
Yeah.
When an emergency happens, are you ever 100% prepared? Absolutely not. But the more prepared or the more practice you do is going to enable you to get through
it.
It
can be
safely.
A matter of seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you want to add to that, Robert.
Yeah, so you want to always have an evacuation plan, and you want to practice that evacuation plan with everybody in the house.
Okay.
And have two ways out. So whenever we come to a house fire situation, we always do a 360. So if you're not able to make it out of the room because fire is on the other side of the door, stand next to your window. We're going to do a 360 before we do anything else to make sure that nobody's trapped inside of the house that's trying to beat out on the window. And we have ladder trucks. You stay on a two-story, three-story, four-story. Doesn't matter. We have the means to get you out through that window situation.
I got you. So it's thinking through the impossible. You say could never happen. Well, what if it did happen?
Exactly.
Right. Imagining the impossible.
And the city of Tallahassee, you know, in Leon County, does things to prepare. You know, the city of Tallahassee now has a chief resiliency officer who she is looking at if things happen, how to prepare. The fire chief's involved with Mr. Peters, as you said, in emergency management and planning.
Yeah.
The city of Tallahassee and Leon County is constantly trying to look ahead to plan for these things, and what can we do? Do we have the resources, and how can we can provide for the citizens of this community to keep them safe and try to mitigate the situation the best way we can?
That's awesome. He is Robert Clary, the Fire Coordinator, Public Education Director for TFD. Robert, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Brian.
And our new friend and newly arrived to Tallahassee, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
A newbie. You're within your first year, so... Yeah.
Honeymoon phase.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We'll work on that. Rich Jones, who is the deputy chief for this very fine organization, Tallahassee Fire Department, our friends in the business. Thanks for being with me this morning.
And we appreciate what you do, Brian, in allowing us to do this.
It's a good thing.
Thank you, folks, sir. You
stay with me. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant Tiffany Hamilton is helping homebuyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of this here fine radio show. You know, you can find us at any time at TallahasseeTalks.com, archiving for you all of the shows that we have broadcast. You can search on a given term or a name. You're going to find the show you've been looking for. If you happen to miss one of the broadcasts, we don't want you to be out of touch, and we're doing our best to try to keep you in touch with the kinds of people that are making a difference on our behalf. And we have with us here in this second hour another example of what's going on around town. Matt Caldwell, Representative Caldwell, House Representative for the last 8 years, has decided to run for Agriculture Commissioner. And he will be at our mercy for the remaining hour of the show. And so we want to make sure you stay with me on that, talking about his beginnings down there in Lee County, and having been in and around agriculture his entire life, actually. He's currently chairs the Government Accountability Committee, which oversees subcommittees regarding natural resources, public lands, transportation, infrastructure, local, federal, military issues. Matt is proud to have sponsored and had the governor sign into law several pieces of legislation, including the Andrew Widman Act, which provides greater protection from career criminals, an act relating to optometry, and lowering the cost of and increasing access to medical eye care. So he has a heart for helping specific groups of individuals. And I think we're going to find out from him his interest in relation to the agriculture of the state, with that same sort of notion in mind, that, you know, the farmers of this state and the farming communities that they inhabit, and the produce, the agriculture that this state produces for us, and its economic impact, all of those are of sharp concern for him, and he's going to help me understand better how that translates into a local level, especially here in North Florida. You know, the question we've asked repeatedly is, how is it that a county like Leon, a metro area like Tallahassee-Thomasville that has so much money, can have within its midst or within its borders a significant portion of the population in poverty and hunger? So you've heard me talk, and you will hear me talk repeatedly about the Tallahassee Food Challenge. It is our effort in trying to educate and make aware all of us to the fact that this is a problem that needs to go away. We cannot continue to abide with the notion that it's inevitable, that it's the status quo, when we have within our means the resource to wipe it out, solve that problem. Is it going to take a lot of focus and attention and effort and energy? Of course it will. Of course it will. Why wouldn't it? But why would that be any less significant to us than our general economic development or land management, traffic lights or crime, anything else we want to talk about? All of that in comparison to children going to bed hungry every night and living in this state that seems to be in perpetuity. You know, there's this kind of notion that if you're born in Leon County, income entrenchment is a real thing. You don't expect to make more money than your parents ever made if you're born in Leon County. I mean, that comes by way of some research findings here several years ago that made that clear. When you look at the facts, just look at the history of this community. Well, we can change that history as we go forward. The Tallahassee Food Challenge is here to say, here's what we can do in our time. And this is the challenge that we each need to take in order to see that happen. Practical information there is TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. You can go to that website and find out more. We are going to be live on, we'll be live on the 12th of May at Gain Street Pies. Gain Street Pies is our presenting sponsor. So we're going to do the entire show at Gain Street Pies on Gain Street, just off of Railroad Avenue, for that full 2 hours. You can come by during that time and leave a donation for Second Harvest. We'd be happy to receive that from you. And we'll have with us Brett Wellman and Drew Tillman performing live during the show. And they're going to be there on behalf of the Food Challenge and also on behalf of this very cool thing, the Tallahassee Songwriters Festival. Saturday, May 20th from 2 to 5 p.m., the Tallahassee Songwriters Festival, Rockin' Country Blues, presenting Jason Bird, Brett Wellman, and Drew Tillman at the Tallahassee Museum. This is an opportunity for you to get in touch with some of the best sound around, coming to you from these very talented songwriters right here in Tallahassee. Tickets and information are available. You can go to TallahasseeMuseum.org or call 575-8684. Saturday, May 20th from 2 to 5 p.m. Brought to you by Till Management and Tallahassee Museum. The Tallahassee Songwriters Festival, Rockin' Country Blues. And there's my opportunity to tell you in my stumbling manner how very cool this thing is. I've attended before. This is now their fourth annual. Drew Tillman and his wife Amelia make this happen along with the good people at Tallahassee Museum. Great example of what Tallahassee brings to us, along with LeMoyne and their upcoming summer camp program. You've heard me talk about this. You want to make sure that your kids know what is it that toys, games, and art have in common, where you can find out if you go to the LeMoyne Arts Summer Camp program. You can find out how that all happens if you go to their website. You want to get registered now because it's coming up fast. Session 1 starts June the 4th, and you can go to their website at LeMoyne.org. Simple enough. You can email education@lemoyne.org. Summer camp program that they're absolutely going to love. And speaking of Lemoyne, they're in the final days of their fundraising campaign, so don't forget them. They've got a few days left, what they're calling a Community Thrives fundraising campaign. They're trying to meet their goal of $3,000. They've got about a third of that, so they're almost there. They got a little bit ways to go. Let's see, this came by way of, yeah, this was as of May 3rd. So they need our help, and they're embarked on this campaign to raise funds to expand and modernize the gallery, its educational spaces, and the sculpture garden. The plan will also look to expand traditional offerings to include additional arts programming for all generations and hosting regional or national arts events and artists. If you had the opportunity, you know that the Chain of Parks Art Festival, which happened earlier here in the month, last month in April, fantastic thing, and it's recognized nationally among the top or the very best in the country. So we have a great contribution there from Lemoyne to our own profile for the rest of the country. So be sure to donate $10 or more, and that will help them win their challenge, a Community Thrives fundraising campaign, Lemoyne Arts. Folks, stay with me. I've got an opportunity to talk with Matt Caldwell. Representative Caldwell will be with us here momentarily. You stay with me. You're in touch with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
So here we are, my friend, in a political year. Have we ever been in a year that is not political? Seems like we've been voting forever on everything, and it's no less true this year when there are several significant races, questions at hand, not the least of which is the business of the state's agriculture. And so we have with us this morning Matt Caldwell. He is campaigning for that position as our chief in charge of agriculture, agriculture commissioner, and we want to welcome him this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thanks for having us on today.
Good to have you with us. A seventh generation Floridian you are.
Yes, sir.
A native whose family of farmers, small business owners, ministers, and doctors have history here dating back to 1826.
Yes, sir.
Wow. And so now you were born in Gainesville, reading here from my notes, grew up in Lee County, met your wife, Yvonne, lived there in North Fort Myers, and your wife is a teacher.
Yes, sir.
And you have a daughter, Ava?
Ava, yes, sir.
Okay. Can I go on with this? This is good stuff.
Well, I think it is a pretty decent biography.
I don't want to embarrass myself here and saying things that aren't true. After attending local schools in Lee County, Matt received his associate's degree from Edison College and his bachelor in history from Florida Gulf Coast University, and then began his career as a real estate appraiser. That's interesting. So you do have a sense of square mileage,
yes,
we'd
sir.
Say, right?
Yes, sir.
And then attained the highest state certification in his field and is qualified as an expert witness in multiple states and federal courts. So not just taking a stab at it, you've been quite serious in your career in that capacity and have been recognized then for your proficiency. You have at the same time served the state of Florida in other ways, haven't you?
I have been in the state house for the last 8 years. Elected in 2010.
Yeah. And in that capacity, you've brought to bear those questions that your constituents, those you represent in your district, find most critical, right, mm-hmm. or most important. What are some of those things that they that you have tried to make sure are better represented?
Absolutely. Well, I, as I said, got elected in 2010, served the last 8 years in the House. And my district that I represent today is the kind of the suburbs and what's left of rural Florida inside Lee County, kind of northeast and outside of the city of Fort Myers. Very blue-collar district, a lot of fixed-income retirees and first- and second-generation families looking to make a go of it in life. And, you know, they're focused on the same thing everybody is. What's the economy looking like? What are their job opportunities? How successful can their kids be and be safe? And so we've certainly paid attention to that. But, you know, at a regional level, we've dealt with a lot of, like the rest of Florida, environmental issues. That's kind of where I cut my teeth in politics. I started volunteering with the Water Management District, speaking out about how we should achieve Everglades restoration and deal with water quality, and kind of snowballed. So when I got to the House in 2010, my number one choice was ag and natural resources. Got on that committee, ended up chairing it, chaired the big committee above it for the last 4 years, and really a front row seat to
and
all the
for
issues.
Central Florida, water is a big deal. I mean, not that it is any less important in North Florida, I suppose, but when you talk about an economy that is highly agrarian, that becomes a critical point, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, water really is the defining feature of the state of Florida, whether it's the challenge to development. You go back to the 1840s and 50s and really all the way up through the 1960s, that was the mindset. You know, get the water off the land, make use of it, develop it, farm it, whatever the goals might have been. And obviously that ethos has changed since then, and we've invested a lot of policy and a lot of taxpayer money on reversing some of those decisions from the previous century. And now looking forward, how do we balance those? How do you work through on the policy side, particularly urban Florida, rural Florida, and natural Florida, and making sure all three of them benefit equally?
What troubles you most about Florida's agricultural future? If it's not development, is it something else?
Well, I mean, they
overdevelopment.
Development is obviously a keen pressure. If you don't have land to farm, then you can't farm. And so, certainly, I've been very supportive of the programs that achieve ag easements. The Rural and Family Lands Program is housed at the Department of Agriculture. It essentially buys the development rights and lets the farmer still keep farming at an economical basis and takes that pressure
off. That's an interesting point. Are Florida's farmers in trouble? Families that are farming.
All farmers are challenged. Part of the joy of farming is you deal with challenges every single day. If you don't enjoy challenges, I wouldn't recommend it as a career.
Right.
Look, it just depends on what industry you're in. You know, citrus industry has had some real challenges with the greening disease. The row crop industry is challenged by labor and trade questions that are really bigger than the state of Florida, but require, I think, an answer from the Ag Commissioner to go out and work on those. But you have lots of bright spots. You see an industry like blueberries. We've boomed as a state over the last 10 years to become a leader nationwide and really worldwide in blueberry production. We've got opportunities like that popping up all over the place. You see citrus here in North Florida. People are planting citrus again in Jefferson, Gadsden, Leon counties.
Yeah. We have paid attention to that, Jefferson County especially, because of the fact that for a lot of the residents of Jefferson County, there's not a whole lot other going on over there economically. So agriculture has been a point of revival, perhaps, for a lot of those folks. We're talking with Matt Caldwell here. He's running for state agriculture commissioner in this current political climate in which all kinds of headlines seem to dominate at a national level, and everything from North Korea to investigations and special counsels So the issues that you try to bring for the rest of us down here at ground level must be a challenge. Is it difficult to get that in front of us when you think about the stuff that we really need to be caring about?
Well, I think it's all valuable. I think the thing we spend probably a good bit of time on the trail talking about, and we've been in the campaign since May 1st of last year, here a little over a year, and 64,000 miles we've run around the state on the road campaigning. But making sure people understand how important this role is to day-to-day life in Florida. You've got to first think about it's a cabinet position. You got the CFO, the Attorney General, Ag Commissioner, and the Governor, and they oversee insurance, banking, utilities, land development, pensions, and clemency system. But inside the department, it really regulates and oversees all the industries. You either work outside or you wash your hands when you're done working. So you're talking about auto repair and amusement parks and surveyors and security guards, not just agriculture, and a very diverse portfolio, a lot of small businesses. It's pretty critical to the day-to-day operation of the economy of Florida. When you consider just amusement parks and agriculture, you're talking about tourism number one and ag number two as the industries in the state of Florida.
Wow. Candidate for Agriculture Commissioner, Representative Matt Caldwell, is our guest this morning. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Matt Caldwell, getting a handle on the state's economic concerns related to agriculture. And prior to the break, you were talking about tourism. Right.
The stat I enjoy sharing that shows the juxtaposition. You've got three enormous counties by population: Hillsborough, where Tampa is, and Palm Beach County, and Dade County, obviously Miami. But those three counties also are three of our highest ag value counties in the state. So right away, you've got a microcosm between the strawberry industry in Hillsborough County. You've got winter vegetables and the sugar harvest in Palm Beach. And then in Dade County, even for all its growth, 3 million plus people, it's still incredibly valuable between the tropical fruits, the nursery plants. It's also the port. Miami International Airport is the hub for cut flowers. Yeah. So if you buy a bouquet of flowers anywhere in the country, 90% of those flowers come through Miami International Airport. 40,000 cases a day. It's an amazing industry.
What do we do to help revitalize agriculture in this region?
Well, a big part of that isn't just about agriculture, but it's about the health and success of those communities, each of those rural communities, whether you're talking about Madison or Quincy or going down to Crawfordville. How do you see those communities to a sustainable vision where they can really be a place where not only people go to retire or look at, it's nice and quaint to visit, but how do the young people decide, I'm not going to move away, but I'm going to invest my future here? Part of that is the obstacles we put in front of ourselves. So you look at industry, manufacturing and production continues to locate just across the state line in Georgia and in Alabama. Why is that? We're closer to I-10. We're closer to the main rail line that runs from Jax all the way to San Diego. Why do they locate their facilities right across the line? Why, when the carrot industry moved in a big way to the Suwannee Valley the last 10 years, why are the processing facilities located in Lake Park and Thomasville instead of in Florida? And part of that's the tangible property tax, and it's really not any more complicated. We levy a tax on equipment, and if you're building a $5 million factory and you can save $250,000 a year by building the plant just on the other side of the line, you're going to do it. Any one of us would. Mm-hmm. And so while that may not necessarily be, that's not thinking like agriculture, it's thinking about how do you make the communities themselves more self-sufficient.
It's the full circle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So creating an environment in which not just the growing and producing of, but the business of agriculture.
Absolutely.
Can sustain then a population of people mm-hmm. who want to be a part of that.
Yeah, not every job's going to be on the farm, and more as we mechanize and we have to, if you're going to compete on the global scale with labor costs are much lower, obviously, in Brazil and in Mexico. Mm-hmm. For us to keep pace, we have to continue to advance on the technological side, and a big part of that is going to be mechanizing harvest and mechanizing planting, and so the job prospect for the kids of the farm, it's going to have to be in the higher end and diversified. They're not out necessarily working in the fields, but they're working in the industry, in the fabric of the community that makes it all work together.
Are there incentives being proposed or even in place to encourage North Florida's agriculture?
Absolutely. I mean, the agricultural industry receives probably the sum total highest number of tax breaks of any industry in the state. So you essentially pay almost no tax on your land. We've, over the last 6 years, really cut a number of taxes on the material side. So fencing, tractors, veterinary supplies for your cattle and your horses, et cetera. Have put the ag industry at the top of the pile in terms of how well they're treated under the tax code.
I have to say, it reminds me of the Dodge. It appeared to be as a Dodge to me, the guy who was being asked to pay taxes on what the state considered commercial property.
Mm-hmm.
And he claimed that they were agricultural lands because he was growing kudzu. So I'm just asking the question.
Well, that's going to come down to the property appraiser in each county.
My question is simply, don't I have to be producing a crop that has some purpose in life?
You do.
Right?
The law says that you have to have a you have to have a crop that has a
other than
economic
goats,
value.
Apparently, kudzu is really not a big consumer item.
No, it's not.
Okay. Just trying to be clear about that. Wow. So if I'm living in Leon County,
mm-hmm.
And you're sitting here talking to me about agricultural concerns mm-hmm. for North Florida and for the state of, what do you need me to know? Because I don't even like mowing my lawn. Okay, so I'm just not into this whole thing that you do.
Sure.
What do you need me to know?
Well, look, I think everybody knows Tallahassee has a pretty decent food scene, and they've really been expanding from what I've seen over the last decade with farm to table and the connections with farmers in and around the region that are supplying them directly with that farm to table concept. And that's really the two different roles, the two different ways or directions that agriculture is going in this state and in this country. You're either going to get very, very big to compete in that international marketplace on the commodity price, orange juice, the price of milk, things like that, or you're going to be small, but you're making a product that's specialized, whether it's mm-hmm. organic or it's just unique to the area. Tupelo honey being a unique product of North Florida,
right?
And you're able to charge a premium because they can't grow Tupelo honey in Africa or Brazil.
Yeah.
You can only get it here, and so if you want it, and if you want, it is a pretty nice honey.
And we need to talk about honeybees, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're talking about honey. They're in peril, are they not? Are honeybees not being threatened? And the question about the impact that would have on agriculture, devastating impact, life-threatening impact. So what's the Department of Agriculture doing about that?
Absolutely. Well, the biggest asset we have in this state is the research system at IFAS through the University of Florida. And you also have research facilities at FAMU here in Tallahassee as well. They partner on a number of things. But on the honeybee side, they are critical. I mean, any of your flowering plants that need pollination, your apples, your peaches, your cherries, your almonds, people may not realize that, we ship semi-loads of bees all over the country. Mm-hmm. Most of them actually winter here in Florida, somewhere in the peninsula, because it's, again, you don't have to deal with snow. The
right.
challenges are lower.
Right, and the suntan lotion and the sunglasses are plentiful, so
absolutely.
That helps. Right.
Absolutely. But, if you lose that industry, the almond industry out in California is
big
totally dependent
trouble
on us shipping those bees down I-10 mm-hmm. every single year and back.
Interesting.
And so the research side is you know, we've dealt with some challenges, mites, diseases and bugs.
Do you feel like there's a disconnect between the realities that you grew up in? I mean, mm-hmm. here you're a kid that grew up, you know, on a farm, right? You've been into stuff all your life. What do we do to educate this population so that they're more sensitive to the kinds of things that you are looking at every day?
Sure. And it is a challenge. You know, I'm not that old. I'll be 37 this year. But I did grow up in a different world before, you know, digital everything. And we went outside every day in the summertime when you're out of school. There's no sitting around the house. Get outside and understand the natural world and spend time in it. And you know, I had my own garden when I was old enough and interested in it. We had citrus trees in the backyard. You know, I remember when the honeybells would come in, I'd sit up there and eat them right off the tree. Really a great way to grow up. It is about education. And so we have, at the legislative level, and I would continue to support this, the funding for FFA, the Future mm-hmm. Farmers of America, and then 4-H. I think people are familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And both those organizations have worked very diligently the last decade to not just be in rural schools, mm-hmm. but actually mm-hmm. Develop programming for the urban schools to mm-hmm. to provide that education. And you see really successful programs in the elementary schools around the state where even if they are completely urbanized schools, they have a school garden. Mm-hmm. The kids are out there working in it. They're understanding it. They're learning about it. There is a gap, I think, in the population where we missed out on that, but we're definitely investing in that now with the youth.
He is a seventh generation Floridian, Matt Caldwell, our guest this morning, Representative Caldwell, now running for Agriculture Commissioner, and we're going to keep him with us for just a few more minutes. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Matt Caldwell is our guest. He has served the people of Florida as representative in the People's House. Mm-hmm. Let's see, which district is that?
79.
79, mm-hmm. District 79. Having completed his two terms, now the question remains, what will he do? Will he go back to his honey bells and his cows and his wheat and such? Or I guess they don't grow wheat down there. But in any case,
not many cereals in Florida.
No, sure enough. No, that's true. We'll leave that to the people in Michigan. But the reality is you have this interest then in Florida's agriculture as such, have chosen to run for this position, Commissioner of Agriculture. When you think of, and we talked about a little bit this earlier, you think of those people in our area, and since we're focused on, we'll talk about, the Tallahassee-Thomasville metro area, mm-hmm. The tragedy that we live with in this community, in which a third of the population, 67,000 people in Leon County, at or below poverty level. Mm-hmm. One in six kids going to bed hungry every night.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things I've tried to work on, I wouldn't say that we've figured it out yet, but how to really efficiently solve the food desert question, mm-hmm. where you've got these communities where the food's just not available. It doesn't get mm-hmm. from point A to point B. And if you live in a community where for whatever reason, you don't have the mobility that the rest of folks have, so you know, your universe is only within walking distance. And if in walking distance is only a convenience store that sells Doritos and Coca-Cola, you know, as much as that may be a fun snack once in a while, that's not the way you need to be eating every night.
Right.
And so we've pursued, and I would like to continue to look at ways to get fresh fruits and vegetables into the food deserts, into the convenience stores, whether that's tax incentives that make it profitable for them to do that, or you know, facilitating connections. It may be as simple as people just don't know each other.
Right.
When you don't know each other, you don't connect, and you don't find opportunities that you're just not aware of.
I noticed that here, well, I guess a year or so ago, Commissioner Richardson, City Commissioner for Tallahassee, he was taking some heat because he, along with the other commissioners, had allocated CRA funds on behalf of the Piggly Wiggly company that came in and set up a grocery store in Southtown, Tallahassee. And their rationale, the justification for that was there is not, and you mentioned convenience stores, there just wasn't another full-fledged grocery store available to that community. And again, if you're within, if you're limited in terms of transportation, you don't have a car, you can't get any further than maybe a mile away from where you are there. It's your home. And this is a challenge.
It is.
So how do you justify the spending of those dollars to help this private company come in and do this? Well, the justification was because you've got hungry people.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if the state takes that attitude. Does the department have that sort of perspective that it's not just about managing farmland and and preserving herds of cattle? It's really about helping people.
No, it's absolutely, the department is about developing market opportunities. It's why they run the farmers market system throughout the state. Opportunities for small farmers that don't have, you know, what the same opportunities for sales that the large corporate organizations do. But absolutely, the mission is about enhancing agriculture, enhancing the opportunities for them to connect with markets, whether those markets are high-end, you know, seafood joints on the ocean, or they are, you know, urban communities that are dealing with the challenges of getting good nutrition. And certainly, you know, I think everybody's familiar that Tallahassee CRA has had some challenges, and we've tried to address those as best we could on the legislative side, but you know, getting those anchor tenants returning to a community is really a kind of a primary purpose for a CRA.
Is it? What does the department do in relation to that kind of, we'll call it, feet on the ground activity?
It tries to foster and encourage as much as possible. I mean, the truth is, no matter how many you know, public employees you put together, you're never going to be as effective as the person who's got the mission on their heart, the way that a charitable organization like that does. But you've got to make sure you're facilitating it.
I guess so. I was wondering if the department finds itself in conflict with large corporate entities that are running grocery store chains. And you're over here basically cutting into their action.
Well, I mean, that certainly could be a possibility, but certainly wouldn't be my attitude. I mean, what the people need is what the people need, and that's what I've tried to do serving the constituents during my term in the House. And I'd have the same attitude here. You look around and you see there's a need that needs to be met, and we need to figure out a way to do it effectively. Who's gonna do the best job solving that problem, and how do we empower them? And it's not always that, you know, the employee at the department is the one to do it, but they certainly have the time and the capacity to identify the problem and facilitate the solver.
If your first day in office, you're elected Commissioner of Agriculture, State of Florida, what's on your day timer? What are the things you have to see accomplished within a reasonable period of time, let's say within your first term of first year of office?
Well, we'll see. You know, the kind of things I've taken on during my legislative career were pretty ambitious. We tackled some tough issues regarding the Everglades. Well, Everglades restoration. We brought some finality to an issue, not the entirety of it, but facets of it that had been dragging on for 25 years. The permanent funding to actually build the restoration projects, bringing a permanence to the financial contribution that the farmers make, the ones that are located south of the lake. They've got a permanent tax they pay for the maintenance of the water treatment that achieves there. And, I mean, those aren't easy things. I'm running on the Republican ticket. I'm a conservative by nature, and so we talk about a permanent tax on farmers. That's maybe a little bit out of folks' expectation, but my passion abounds for our natural resources. So the last 2 years, worked very hard trying to bring some reform and modernization to our state lands universe, and really figuring out how we can move the ball down the road when it comes to conservation and what are the goals we really want to achieve. You don't have an unlimited supply of money, so you got to have some really clearly defined goals that you can meet and go after. And the same thing is going to be true in the department. Those labor and trade issues we talked about. Obviously, the federal government has a large say in how those are dealt with. But third largest state in the country, incredibly unique agricultural profile. I think what's important to us should be important to the country.
Representative Matt Caldwell, our guest this morning, running for Agriculture Commissioner. Representative, we wish you much success. Good luck to you on the campaign trail. Thank you for being our guest this morning.
Absolutely.
A pleasure having you.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Come back anytime. We'd like to learn more. Folks, that's what I have for you this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the luxurious studios of Moose Magnificat in Tallahassee. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. Our associate producer, Alexandra Blackwell. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at tiffanyhamilton.com.